blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, in the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 15 through verse 35. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 35. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we have read a little portion of that instruction in which thou gavest unto thy church, unto thy disciples, unto thy people, even unto the end of this world. And Lord, thou knowest that there comes a time in the life of thy people that there is nothing that is so necessary as the forgiveness of their iniquity. And then there is a time wherein they say, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Lord, thou knowest that it is a desire, and that is born of thee. But there comes also a time when they see that they are not able to pay, and that they must ask only that thou would forgive them all the debt. Lord, wilt thou look upon each and every one of us? Because in this afternoon hour, then we are brought to that lesson in our Heidelberg Catechism, which thou hast given unto thy church, that petition in which thou hast taught them to pray, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lord, that there may be in the midst of us, in this afternoon hour, one who cannot do without this forgiveness, one who cannot go on with that burden of guilt laying upon his account. Lord, it by nature has no weight. By nature, we do not see that we have to give an account of every word, of every thought, and of every deed. And we do not believe that we have to die, that we have to appear before thee, that for all our transgression and for all our sin, that we must pay. Lord, impress upon us the truth of thy word, the reality, how it is between God and our soul. And when we are still in that state in which we have been born, and without God in this world, and walking over this world for our own account, and when we have to appear before thee, and with all our transgression and with all our sin, even in our most holy duties, even in our worship, even in our drawing nigh unto thee, then, Lord, who shall be able to answer one question of 1,000 of thee. Lord, wilt thou give us then a little impression in this afternoon hour of the importance, of the necessity, of the forgiveness of our sins, whether we are young or whether we are old. The old must die, and then it behooves us when we are old to make our calling and election sure, because we know that soon we will have to stand before our judge. Oh, that thou may give in this afternoon ears unto them to hear, and that they may be shown that way, that only way, wherein they may meet their Maker in peace and in righteousness. But Lord, also when we are young, for the young can also die, and in one moment have to appear before our Creator, and then thou wilt ask after thy image, and what shall we answer thee? Lord, wilt thou impress that same need upon the young amongst us, that we may seek for that forgiveness that can only be found in thy only begotten Son, and that we may not remain without the knowledge thereof for our own soul as we are traveling through this world, because it is not only in an objective way, but we need to know it also in a subjective way. We need to know it for ourselves, for our own soul, or that we may hasten for the sake of our life, and that we may seek it while it is still to be found, and that thou would impress it upon us while it is still a day of grace. For this will everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time wherein thou mayest be found. Thy servant did exclaim, Lord, that it may also be that supplication that goes forth from each and every one of us while it is still possible before that door that is forever shut against us. And when we are commanded to depart from thee, and we are carried by thy servants into that eternal abyss where hope shall never come, Lord, our plight, and that is a serious one by nature, and we cannot bind it upon our own hearts, but thou art able to work it, Lord. That need must be wrought in us by thee, that there may come a place in our hearts for the precious Son of God, for all that he has accomplished, that there may be need for a mediator, a Savior, a Redeemer, that we may be delivered from all our iniquities. Lord, thou knowest also those in whom this matter has been wrought by thy Holy Spirit. Oh, when there are such ones in our midst in this day who have even been waiting till we may come to this service, when we may speak about the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, when there may be those in the midst of us who are beseeching thee, Lord, open thou my eyes, and that I may see it also, that I may receive it, even in my own soul. Lord, could it please thee then to bless thy word in this afternoon hour, that it may be for the deliverance of those who are in the pit, who are in the prison, and they must experience that the key to that prison that is on the other side of the door, that they are not able to deliver themselves, but that their cry may go out unto thee, who art the Most High and the Almighty God, and that thou would look upon them in mercy and in grace. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Do it for thy glory. Then they shall glorify and they shall magnify thee in this day,
and when thou would deliver them, and when thou would set thy people free from all their bondage. Oh, then they shall magnify thy thrice worthy and holy name by beginnings in this day, and it shall be to a never-ending eternity. Lord, do it then for thy own name's sake, because thou canst not do it for our sake. Wilt thou look upon all those in this whole world that have never heard of that one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved? Oh, they are yet in their blindness. Lord, they do feel the guilt because we are created in the image of God, and that innate knowledge is also lying in their heart. Though it is so greatly darkened and they cannot see anything of the only begotten Son of God, and when they look about them in nature, but they can only feel the guilt and the burden. Lord, oh, that thou would be pleased to send forth more servants into thy vineyard, that thy word may come abroad, and that others may also be given to hear of that only name, that they also may be delivered from all iniquity, transgression, and sin, and that they also may come to glorify thee. Lord, wilt thou strengthen thereto all thy servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world, when thou hast truly sent them? Oh, then wilt thou also give them what is necessary to feed thy church, and wilt thou give the knowledge of faith in a true exercise in the midst of thy church here below, that the warfare between that old and that new man may be also in the hearts of us and of our children, and those from the east and from the west, and that they may know from what they are delivered. Wilt thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us? Lord, thou knowest all the condition that we are in as a country. Oh, that thou would turn us again, that thou would seek us out. Wilt thou have dealings with us, and not in thy wrath and thy hot displeasure, because then in one moment thou couldst bring us to nothing, but wilt thou chastise us in order that we may come again to thy footstool, that we may come again to thy law and to thy testimonies. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, and leave us not to go in our own way. Give that thy Sabbath day may be kept once again in our land, and that the unborn may not be slain, that thy name may no longer be blasphemed, that men may be brought to revere the true and the holy God of heaven and of earth. Look upon all those in the prisons, all those that are at war, all those that are in distress and that need thee in special ways in this life. Show thyself as the God of the heavens and of the earth. Show thyself also as the covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Lord, wilt thou not leave us either and our children? Help us in this afternoon in the bringing and in the hearing of thy word. Oh, that thy word in this afternoon, that it may be a sharp two-edged sword, a piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and of the marrow. Lord, give that somewhere it may enter in, even when we do not know of it, but in this heart or in that heart, that there may be fruit upon it, Lord. If thou hast truly sent us, oh, wilt thou use us then as an instrument in thy holy fingers for the good welfare of this flock, and for true conversions, and for the leading of thy own people from step to step in that way to Zion. We ask it in the name of thine only begotten and well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 83, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. Blessed he to whom Jehovah imputeth not his sin, who hath a guileless spirit, whose heart is true within. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 83. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon for Lord's Day 51, question 126. Lord's Day 51, question 126. Which is the fifth petition? Answer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. So far, our Lord's Day, a petition for forgiveness. First, the substance of this petition. Second, the foundation of this petition. Third, the sincerity of this petition. A petition for forgiveness, first, the substance, second, the foundation, and third, the sincerity of this petition. Thus, first, the substance of this petition, or for what this petition is, what it is asking for. Forgive us our debts. What is a debt? A debt that is an obligation, that is something that we owe. So we have received a certain service, or we have borrowed a certain amount or something, and there is an expectation of a return. Thus, we have an obligation, we have a debt. Some in this world do not feel so much obligation to repay their debts. And that is a sinful way for us to live. When we have an obligation, then that obligation ought to weigh on us until it is paid. Others, congregation, feel much guilt, but they are not able to pay their debt, live with much anxiety under such a weight, under such a burden. And then, indeed, we ought to have compassion on one another, that we are not dealing with too much rigor on those that are not able to pay their debts. However, the Lord Jesus is not speaking here about natural debts, but the Lord Jesus is speaking about spiritual debts, spiritual obligations. How is it possible for us to have a spiritual obligation? That is possible because we have a spirit, we have a soul, we are a spiritual creature. And because we have a soul and we have been made by God, who is a spirit, then we have also a spiritual obligation to Him. He is our maker, He is our creator. He has given to us a law. We read that law Sabbath after Sabbath day. We have also the summary of that law given out of the mouth of His only begotten Son. And it lies as an obligation on every creature in this world to fulfill every commandment of His holy law. As a creature of God, to love Him in the first place above all. Is that our life? That is now the purpose for which you and I have been created. What was our life in the week that has gone by? Has there been any thought? Has there been any consideration? Has there been any desire? Has there been any longing in our heart after that God who has created us? Thus, the worship, the service of the true triune God that ought to be laying as a weight upon each one of us. It is a debt. It is an obligation. When we have been created for this purpose, that we fulfill this purpose. And therefore, everything in our life, every thought, every word, every deed that is inconsistent with this purpose for which we have been created, that is a transgression, that is a sin. Thus, the Lord Jesus, when He instructs His disciples to pray, forgive us our debts, then He is using this word debt in a metaphorical way. He is using it as a metaphor that it would to point out what sin is. That transgression, that iniquity, that sin that is just as a debt in this world. Forgive us our debts. That is a petition that He taught whom to pray, boys and girls. Who was the Lord Jesus speaking to and teaching to pray? That was His own people, that was His own disciples. Thus He taught them to say, forgive us our debts. What does that imply? That means that the Lord Jesus has accused the disciples. The Lord Jesus has accused His own people of sin, of having an unpaid debt, of having obligations which they have not fulfilled. Did the Lord ever do this to us in our life? This is now one of the first works of the Holy Spirit in the life of His church. To come and to convince a man of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And when the Spirit will come in this way, in that new birth, then He will begin to show to us that we have a great debt. And that debt that is as yet unpaid. That it is an obligation that is unfulfilled. Thus we may ask ourselves whether that Spirit of the Lord has ever been moving at times as it was moving in the heart of Samson. That the Lord is convincing, that the Lord is showing, that the Lord is giving a burden under an unfulfilled obligation, under an unpaid debt. The Lord sent His servant unto David, and He had to say unto him, thou art the man. Then David had to say, I have sinned against the Lord. I acknowledge my transgression, my sin that is ever before thee. Oh, there is our only beginning. That is not a beginning from man, that is a beginning from above. when the Spirit of the Lord will show to us our debt. Forgive us our debts. That is not only individual transgressions, but our fathers, they speak here about that depravity which always cleaves to us. Thus, they speak about something that is much deeper, that is much greater than an individual transgression in our life. They speak about a depravity. When we read about the rich young ruler, then what is it that that rich young ruler has never been taught in his life? Did he not know sin? Yes, we must say sin, he felt something of. Because that man said to the Lord Jesus that he would restore fourfold. Thus, he had a desire to pay every one of his debts. But what did that man never learn? That man never learned the corruption that lay within his heart. And for this reason, the Lord Jesus has sent him back again to the law. Because by the law is the knowledge of sin. That is not only of individual transgression, but the law is the exposer of that depravity that is within us, that corruption that is lying in our heart. We can hear Peter that he has learned something of this depravity. Then he said, Lord, don't wash my feet only, but wash also my hands and my head. Then Peter felt something, how that he was from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That depravity which is in us. Depravity. That is the sin that is felt by those who miss the mark. Who miss the purpose for which God has created me on this earth. And that not only have I committed individual transgression, but my entire life, all my purpose, all my motive, and that has nothing anymore to do with that purpose that I have been created here in this world. Thus our fathers speak about the depravity which always cleaves to us. And thus our fathers also speak here about us poor sinners. What is that? A poor sinner. That is not a person who pities himself because he is a sinner. That he says, I am a son of Adam. And that Adam was my head. And that Adam has sinned and I could not help it. Why does God yet find fault? No, the Lord does not pity us then. Why not? Because then that sin has never been accepted by us. And then we have never seen that guilt that lay on Adam for his sin, that is imputed to me, that it is actually my own guilt. No, then it is possible that we are praying, Lord, forgive my sin. But we really have no need for it. We have really no impression of what our sins are. Thus, it is but an outward asking. Us poor sinners. That's what our fathers mean by this. But what is poverty? Poverty is the inability to pay our debts. Thus, to be a sinner, that is one thing. But did we ever become a poor sinner? Because this is actually something else. The Pharisees also brought their sacrifices. And in bringing a sacrifice, they also made a confession that they were sinners. But they were not such poor sinners. No, they still had plenty of their own righteousness and to spare. It is possible that we have in an outward way a pious talk within the church. We are sinners. And yet, we still have enough to help ourselves. Thus, a sinner may still say, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Is that not what the Lord places in the heart of every one of his children? In that new birth, that desire to pay all his debts, that desire to live completely for the honor and for the glory of the Lord, that I will walk within my house and with a perfect heart. But a sinner who has learned his poverty is no longer saying this. Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all, because he has learned of the depravity of his heart. And a poor sinner, he is so completely unable to even begin to pay the smallest part of his debt. Paul was such a poor sinner. Paul had to complain. He says, Lord, there is a law that is in my members. A law cannot change it. It is the rule of the flesh, of the members of my body. It is the rule of that old man who is living, who is dwelling within me. Therefore, he had to complain that this law pervaded his whole being. He had to say that he had no power to remove that sin from himself. Is that also what we must confess? Then that people become a greater sinner as they do, young people, not more sin, no, but less sin. There are those who are rich and who are increased with goods, also within the house of God, and they become so tired of these poor sinners. Why? Because they have nothing wherewith they may help themselves. Because it is a people that always have to complain about themselves, that they have nothing in themselves and they cannot help themselves. And if the Lord himself does not come over for that people, then they remain in their poverty. Us poor sinners, that is a people that are not able to make it right with God. Congregation, is that now your life? Whether you be older or children, is that now your life? That you are not able to make it right with God? That you say, Lord, my whole purpose, my whole motive, my whole life is upside down. It is all wrong. It is all sin. Then the people feel that it is their own guilt. I am evil, born in sin. But what does the Lord desire? Thou desirest truth within. Forgive us our debts. That is what the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. What did he bypass? The Lord bypassed something. The Lord skipped something completely over when he taught his disciples to pray this prayer. That was all hope and all attempt to try to pay their debt themselves. No, he says, you must ask the Lord if he will forgive you your debt. Why? Because, my people, it is your only hope. May you ever see it so. No fruit from this tree forever. Then there we have but one hope. Lord, forgive us our debts. What is the basis upon which he taught them to pray this? That is our second thought. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. Thus, when the Lord is accusing his people, and when the Lord is making that people to feel by his Spirit that it is their own guilt, and when the Lord is cutting off all hope of reconciliation from the side of that people to bring them to that place in their life where they begin truly to ask for the forgiveness of all their sins, then he also leads them into that mystery of how that it is possible that a person may be forgiven all that debt. And where does that begin? In the good pleasure of God. Therefore, our fathers, they explain it this way. Be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. Every good hope is lying upon this foundation, that is the good pleasure of God from eternity. The Lord is doing in this world, the Lord is doing with his church what? He is doing with them what pleases him. As sovereign, as Lord, as God. No man can say to him, what doest thou? If we will never come on the side of the Lord to love, to learn his good pleasure, then we will miss that only comfort that is the hope of the true church of God. Be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. However, it is necessary to learn that there is one thing that pleases that triune God concerning the salvation of his church. And if the Lord does not show to a person what it is that pleases the Father, then that good pleasure of God can only be against us. Because then it is the good pleasure of God to destroy and to cast away every one of the wicked, and to show his righteous judgment on everyone who will not repent, who will not turn unto him. Thus, the Lord must open to such a poor sinner, one that is not able to pay his debt. The Lord must open to such a person what it is that pleases him. And our fathers, they speak here about the fact that he is pleased by the shed blood of Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Thus they lead that church to contemplate something of that good pleasure of the Father in the work and in the person and in the offices of that blessed Son of God. He is pleased with his active obedience that he has fulfilled for that church, that whole law of God, in such a perfect way that no one in this whole world could say unto him that he had sinned. He is pleased with the satisfaction of his justice and the payment of the debt of that church. He is pleased with the suffering of the punishment of the sin of his people. He is pleased with the substitutionary work of that only begotten Son of God. He is pleased with his suffering. He is pleased with his death. He is pleased with the shedding of his blood. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Is that not a wonder? Did the Lord ever open in his good pleasure in the bruising of his Son unto your poor soul? May you ever see him then reveal to your soul as Moses, who stood in the breach to take away that sin of that people. May the Lord ever show you something of that mediator standing between God and your own soul in a personal way. That is a mystery that needs to be opened. That is a mystery that needs to be revealed. It needs to be applied unto poor sinners. And for them that is a great wonder. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Surely he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord has laid on him, not men, no, the Lord himself, before whom I have to stand, before whom I cannot answer one question of a thousand. That Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There is the foundation for the forgiveness of sins. No, the foundation does not lie in the covering of sin. The foundation does not lie in the looking through the fingers at sin, as if the Lord will just turn his face away and that he can just pass by his justice. It is not lying in the Lord coming off of his throne of justice and ascending his throne of mercy. It is impossible. But the foundation that is lying in the complete satisfaction of his justice to a God who declares himself in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the full satisfaction of that justice and his good pleasure in it. What does that mean? It means that all his anger that is completely turned away, not only from his son, but from everyone for whom that son has taken that curse upon himself. That there is no more wrath. It is the opposite. Well pleased. He does not behold iniquity in Jacob. Then all that sin of that church that is wiped away, so that he has to say that bride, as she is all fair, and that he sees no spot in that bride. Congregation, what a wonderful sight for a poor sinner to receive. When we are but a sinner, and we may contemplate that work of Christ, then there is still no place for that work in our heart, because we still do not need only to be forgiven, but now a poor sinner, to one who has come to an end of all of his own efforts, and for whom that debt that is only growing greater and greater in his life, for such a poor sinner to receive such a sight by true saving faith, oh, then how good it becomes between God and his soul. Oh, no, then he is not a poor sinner anymore. Then he is so rich in him. Even though he has nothing, young people, for the flesh, even though he is so poor in all that is in this world, then he has such an abundance of riches. Why? Because that means that every one of his debts that is so completely paid that there is nothing of debt written on his account anymore, but instead is imputed to him all of that which has been accomplished by his son, and that is written on their account, that is righteousness, that is a complete fulfillment of that whole law of God, so that it is as if they themselves had kept that whole law. And every one of those transgressions, the Lord says he has cast behind his back, yea, even into the depth of the sea. Forgive us our debts. Congregation, what do we need more in this life between the cradle and the grave? Born in debt already and doing nothing our whole life long but adding unto our debt, how shall we ever appear before our creditor? Do we ever contemplate this? Do we ever think about this when we go to our bed in the evening? And we are lying there. Do we ever think that we may not wake up in the morning? And that before that night is gone, it could be that we have to stand before our Maker. And then, with such a debt, it may be that we think much of our earthly debt. And what a wonder you would say if I could ever come to the end, and if this will ever get paid off. But we remain a debtor until every last one of our sins and transgressions is paid. Let us sing Psalter 230. 1, 5, and 6. O Lord, thou hast greatly blessed our land. Thou hast brought back our captive band. Thy pardoning grace has made us free and covered our iniquity. 1, 5, and 6 of Psalter 230. Our last thought, the sincerity of this petition, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What is that? He does not say because we forgive our debtors, but as we forgive our debtors. It is impossible that we would be forgiven because we forgive our debtors. And why is that impossible? Because then to forgive, that has merely become another commandment of the law, and we have only gone back again unto a broken covenant. to base our forgiveness by the Lord on something that we ourselves are doing, that we would forgive our neighbor, and because we do so, now the Lord owes forgiveness unto us. No, there is one foundation that is free forgiveness. There is one foundation that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus is showing unto his disciples what he himself is working by his Holy Spirit. And what is that? That is evidence of grace. Even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. That is, what is planted in the heart of that true church. That is, the Lord Jesus says, what you feel as my people, what you feel testimony of even within your own heart. What does he speak of that is not financial debts? As if we have no right to lend to our neighbor and to collect from our neighbor again, although we have to show mercy on the poor. But he is speaking about those who have wronged us by their words, by their deeds. We cannot know their thoughts. There are sins against God, and there are also sins against our neighbor. Although they are also against God, because our neighbor is his creature. And what is that evidence of grace that the Lord is giving in the heart of his people? That is the desire to forgive. That is not so by nature. We have anger, we have enmity, and we have a desire for revenge. Not that that is not to be found anymore, but there is also something else to be found, and that is a desire to forgive. What does that mean? No, that does not mean that we must cover, that we must hide all the sins of our neighbor, that we must just simply turn the other way. That is not honest, nor is it loving. Faithful, Solomon says, are the wounds of a friend. So faithful when we will wound our friend, boys and girls. Say, that is not nice to wound our friend. No, we do not do it for his hurt. We do it for his good. We do it for his life. We do it for his health. We do it for his welfare. It is also not so that we may never have reparation for injury, as if that we were to receive the debt that our neighbor places on us, that he does not have to pay. But it must be without revenge. But what is he speak of here? He speaks of here forgiveness for personal injury. And we have read together how that we are to treat one another out of Matthew 18, 15 through 17. When we are offended by one another, what must we do? When we are offended, then we have a duty. That is to go and to tell our neighbor his offense. How that he has offended us. It can be he does not even realize that he has offended us. It can be that he realizes but is not able to break through. And to come and to confess that he has offended us, then we are not to wait for him to come and to apologize. No, the Lord Jesus says the offended one is the one who has a duty. Sure, he who offends. But that offended one, he has a duty to go and to say what that offense was. We may not just leave this. Why may we not just leave this? Because there still remains within our mind, there still remains within our heart, something against our brother. There is a breach. We may not live with a breach. No, we are to live as brethren of one house. Must we do so then for every slight offense? No. Love, we read, covers a multitude of sins. And if we had to do this for every slight offense of our neighbor, then we would never be finished. No, there are many things that we can simply look by. But then there are other things that we may not look by. And what kind of things are they? They are things that make a separation. They make a separation. And if it makes a separation, it is that separation that we have a duty to go and to try everything that we can to take that separation away. Does it mean that every breach can be healed? Sadly not. Many times the healing of breaches take time, but sometimes breaches are never healed. Why is it? Most of the time, it is because it is not felt that there is truth, that there is sincerity in the confession, that it is not upright, that it is not honest. And when this is not felt, then it is very difficult to forgive one another. The Lord says that it ought to be different, but we know that sometimes, yeah, we live in a world that is full of sin, but also the consequences of sin. And sometimes those breaches, they are never healed. But congregation, who of us can say that we have been wronged as we have wronged and continue to wrong our Creator? And for the people of the Lord, also their Redeemer, day by day. Who can compare the little trifles that we experience from one another to that great mountain of sin that we have sinned against the Lord? How then can we expect the Lord to forgive us 500 pence when we cannot forgive 50? That is our shame, yours, mine. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do we have, congregation, any desire for forgiveness? That presupposes that we feel something of our debt. We can read when that Christian, he comes to that cross, and he loses that burden of sin. That is the application of that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Bunyan expresses what that church experiences in that moment. And we have spoken a little while ago concerning the application of that blood of Christ. The revelation and the application. And when he speaks about the application upon a sight of that cross, and then he says that he felt so glad and lightsome, and he stood there for a while to look and to wonder, because it was a wonderment to him how that one look upon that cross could give him such a relief from his burden. And that is indeed the experience of the true church of God. That is a burden they receive in that new birth. The burden, the felt weight that they have sinned against a holy and a righteous God. That is a burden that they would have taken away in no other way than that which is righteous and just in the sight of God. And this is that burden, that one sight of that cross of Christ by a true and saving faith given to such a poor sinner may give them to see forgiveness, forever and forever relieved from the guilt that is due to sin. For one who is from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, full of it. And then to see that there is forgiveness. And though that they will be plagued even to the last breath of their life by the pollution of sin, then by moments they may receive rest and peace. When by faith they may look upon him, congregation, what shall that be? To never be forgiven our sin. What does that mean? That we still owe. We still owe. That we are still a debtor. When we die in such a way, what did the Lord Jesus say will be said to us? Then he will be cast into prison. Until when? Until he should pay everything that was due from him. When is that? That is never. Because that is a debt that is unpayable. If we will be delivered, we will need to be forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. That is our only hope. And that hope is only while we are in a day of grace. And therefore, the Lord Jesus teaches to pray, forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so, poor sinners, those who are unable, are they here? Those who are unable to pay all their debt, and therefore unable ever to come again into that blessed and holy communion with God, they are received freely by that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to dwell forever and forever with him. Oh, that it may be our desire, that it may be our longing. Oh, ask the Lord to lead you into the reality of your state and condition, that you also may be delivered therefrom. Then his name will be glorified, and then our soul shall be saved. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but try to stammer a few words. Who can say what that is for a poor sinner to receive forgiveness? Lord, may thou remember such ones, if they may be in the midst of us, or reveal something of that payment, of that price. It was a great price. It was even thy life that thou hast given unto death, that thou may pay that full price, even to the very end of each and every one of thy church. O Lord, open it unto those for whom it is so impossible,
And wilt thou give them a little sight, in order that thy name may be glorified. Forgive all that was sinful this day, what lies in our heart and what comes forth from us. O bless, if there may be something that was from thee, Lord, may thou bless it in the midst of this our congregation. Grant us what we stand in need of further. Remember him who serves in the other part of our congregation in this day. Also in this evening, strengthen and help him. Bless thy word there also. Be with us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world. And when there are those that travel, Lord, give traveling mercies. And wilt thou give meditation upon the need of our soul as we travel to thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 175, the first stanza. Come, all ye people, bless our God and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, who never lets our feet be moved, and though our faith he oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. 175, the first stanza. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.